The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, says that the Gemara asks a question. Haguf Kasha. The Braisa says, Tanner of Acha, Aricha Kamedra of Chanina, Hamavda B'Tfilah Meshivach Yosem Mishi Yavdol Kais. Somebody who makes Havdalah well, he's davening, is more praiseworthy than somebody who makes Havdalah only on the Kais. V'mhivta bazu bazu, the Braisa continues, if you made Havdalah both by Mayriv and you make Havdalah afterwards, Yenochla Brachas Arosha. He's worthy to receive brachas. Ask the Gemara Haguf Akasha, isn't this difficult to understand? Amrit, first we say Hamavda B'Tfilah, Meshubach Yosem Mishi Yavdol Kais. The making Havdalah during the Tfilah is better. Alma, so what do we see from here? The Tfilah L'Chudosagi. The tefillah alone is adequate. V'hodatani, and then the Braisa teaches us, Hivdal bazu bazu, if you didn't just make Havdalah by tefillah, but you also made Havdalah ala kois, yinuchla brachas arayshoi. But ask the Gemara, kim de nafkle b'chada, once you've already made Havdalah by tefillah, iftar, so you've fulfilled your obligation to make Havdalah. So now, when you make Havdalah on the kois, won't that be, have a bracha she'en etzricha? It'll be an unnecessary bracha. Vam Ravi Teimer Resh Lakish, Vam Le Reb Yochan Resh Lakish, Tarmi Tavayu, Kol Avark bracha she'en etzricha. If somebody makes a bracha she'en etzricha, over, he's over the lav of Lysisa, the pasuk that says, Lysisa Shem El Kech L'Sham. Ala Eimah, Hachi, that's why the Gemara, it's not the maskon of the Gemara, but the Gemara says, Em Hiv De Bazu, on the contrary, you should only make one Havdalah, and if that's what you did indeed, you will be praiseworthy. So our Gemara over here teaches us the very important halacha of Kol Avara Bracha Shein Etzricha. If somebody makes a Bracha Shein Etzricha, the Gemara teaches us, he's over L'Sisa Shem El Kech L'Shav. And there's a Machloikis Rishonim, the way most Mefarshim learn, Machloikis Toistus and the Rambam, if making a bracha shein etzricha is an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbonim. Toistus' opinion in Masecht Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Toistus the very maskil ha, is the opinion that a bracha shein etzricha is only an issa d'rabbonim. The Ritva also holds like Toistus. And the Ritva's Raya, their Raya is, were it not, were it an Issa D'Raisa, why is the Halacha that we'll learn, this is a Shir, which is an introduction to Perek Hetz and Mevarchim, why we will learn that under certain circumstances, when somebody has a Sofik of a Bracha, even though there's a rule of Sofik Brachas Lahakal, but in certain circumstances he does say a Bracha, if every time we make a bracha that we're not supposed to, we're over an Issa D'Raisa. If it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, we could understand better why Chazal would have allowed us to do so. But if it's Issa D'Raisa, how could Chazal allow us to do so? The Rambam, Pasha Pshat from the Rambam, and so does the Magen Avraham, learn Pshat in the Rambam, that the Halacha, Bracha She'en Etzricha, is a Issa D'Raisa. How will the Rambam learn, like I just said, that the Gemara we learned earlier in our Masechta, that if somebody has a Shaila, if he said Emes V'Yatzif, Birchas Krishma, which are only Drabonon, he has to say them again. It's a Sofik, Bracha She'en Etzricha. So the way the Rambam is going to have to learn, explain the Mefarshim, is that Bracha She'en Etzricha, that the whole Dira Brachas, is a din that Chazal established that one must make a bracha. And when Chazal established that one must make a bracha, included in that rule that they made was that you have to say it under certain circumstances, even if there's a suffix. So the same way Chazal established that the bracha should be said when there's a certain obligation, the very same Chazal said that under certain circumstances, like the Gemara that we learned early in the Masechta, if there's a Shaila, if he made Birchas Krishma, should be repeated even if it's a suffix, even though it may involve the bracha shel tzricha. There's another Gemara. The Gemara discusses the Isser of a Gemara Masechtet. And before we go further, I saw a very beautiful vort from Rabbi Yonason Scheif in his Sefer Chadoshim Gam Yishonim, that he wants to suggest that our Gemara that says Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Amr Tavayu, that they both spoke about brach, that there's an Issa Brach Shein Etzricha, he wants to say that what they were saying, both were agreeing that there's an Isser to make a Brach Shein Etzricha, but even though they were agreeing that there's an Isser to make a Brach Shein Etzricha, the Machloik, they didn't completely agree. They were debating, as the Rambam and Tosfos debate, is it an Issa D'Oraisa or is it only an Issa D'Rabbanan? However, there's another Isser besides the Isser of Bracha Shein Etzricha, which as Al Gemara teaches us is based on the Pasuk of Leisisa Shem Elokecha L'Shav. There's another Isser of Maskir Shem Shemayim L'Vatala. The Gemara says in Masechta Temura, Daftal Ramat Aleph, Hamoitzi Shem Shemayim L'Vatala, over. He's over in the essay of Hashem Elokecha Tira. Everybody agrees that one is over that Issa. The only shaila is that is an Issa deraisa. So somebody says Shem Shemayim Levatola, he uses Hashem's name in vain. He's certainly over an essay. And according to Tosfos, that turns out to be a bigger Issa, because that everybody will agree is an Issa deraisa. Brach Levatola will not be an Issa deraisa according to Tosfos, whereas according to the Rambam, when you make a Brach Levatola, Brach Shein Etzricha, as our Gemara calls it, you're over a Lav deraisa. There's a debate in the Achronim. If according to the Rambam, when somebody makes a Brach Levatola or Brach Shein Etzricha, that he's over the Lav of Laisisa Shem Elokech L'Shav Midaraisa, is he also over the essay of Hashem Elokecha Tira, or is he not over the lav of Hashem Elokecha Tira? Furthermore, there's a question, according to Tosfos, that we just learned, that Tosfos holds that a brach levatala, what our Gemara says, you over leisisa, it's only midrabonim. But let's say somebody made a brach levatala. So indeed, Tosfos will hold there is no issa deraisa of leisisa, but will he at least be over midaraisa, the mitzvah to say of Hashem Elokecha Tira? So many mepharshim say that Tosfos will hold that he's not over anything midaraisa, certainly not leisisa, and also not as Hashem Elokecha Tira. Why? Because let's try to understand. What is indeed the pshat in Tosfos? Why does Tosfos hold that if somebody makes a brach levatala, he's not over a mitzvah deraisa, the lav deraisa? So the answer, and the Pnei Yeshua says this, Svara, and many other Achronim say this Svara as well, is that if somebody is saying Hashem's name, and indeed he should not have said Hashem's name, but he's saying it in the context of a bracha, because he's saying it in the context of a bracha, we can't be so angry at him, so to speak, because it's still in the context of a bracha. Only when somebody uses Hashem's name, not in the context of a bracha, is it much more of an aveira. And therefore, Tosfos will hold, not only if somebody makes a brach levatala, brach shein etzricha, is he not over midaraisa, the lav of leisisa, he will not be over even midaraisa, the mitzvah say of Hashem Elokecha Tira, he will, however, be over midrabbanan. Not, however, in any way, do we mean in this shiur to diminish the seriousness of this aveira? The seriousness of the aveira of brach levatala or a bracha shein tzricha is very extreme. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph says, "Kol ha'olam kulo nizdaza." The entire world shook B'shosh Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai Laisis Hashem Elokech L'shav. And the Gemara asks, in fact, why is Laisisa considered such a serious Aveira? And the Gemara gives a number of answers, that Laisisa is more serious. One is, by all other Aveiras, if somebody did tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish them. Here, even if somebody did tshuva on the Aveira, he gets punished. Not only is the punishment to him, but it's even to his family. By all other Aveiras, if somebody has a schus, a merit, then the merit could protect him, not here. Furthermore, even though it's only a lav, the Gemara says that it's treated like somebody who did a lav that there's a chief karis or mises bezdan on, which we know is always considered a more serious lav. And in fact, the Rishonim point out that Rachman Tzlon, the Ramban, discusses very seriously Hamas Geshem Shemayim Levatolo, all of Nemar, regarding such a person, Im Loisishma Liris Hashem, V'hafla Hashem Es Mekasecha Makas Kedoilus. When the Pasuk in the Techacha speaks about somebody receiving very serious Makas, it's referring to somebody who doesn't show the Shem Hashem proper respect. The Mefarshim go on to say that it could cause Chas V'Shalom poverty, it could cause Chas V'Shalom death. The Paiskim discuss how if a person recognizes that he mentions Hashem's name in vain, he himself is obligated to do tshuva, even if he did it b'shagig. The Paiskim discuss that at Erev Rosh Hashanah, there were people that had a minig that when they said Hataras Nadarim, they would be careful, as they said at Taras Adarim, to also mention, to ask special mechila, if chas v'shalom they mention Hashem's name in vain. And this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Simen Reish Tezvav, Sif Dalet, Kol HaMavarach Baruch Hashem Etzricha, HaReze Nois Hashem Shemayim L'shav, V'arehu K'nishbo L'shav, it's considered as if somebody swore falsely. One may not even answer Amen after such a person. But when we speak about this halacha, there are obviously many different categories. And one category is, as the Shulchan Aruch just said, we just read, that one may not say Amen after someone who makes a bracha, she'en etzricha bracha levatala. And therefore, the Paiskim tell us that one of the rules we're going to be learning extensively in Mitzvah Hashem is safek brachas lahakel, that sometimes if there's a safek, if you should make a bracha, don't make the bracha. And somebody who made a bracha, when the halacha says not to make a bracha, the Paiskim say, you don't say an amen after such a bracha. Similarly, the Paiskim say that if somebody ate a food that's not kosher or it's osur, or somebody ate something which is poisonous to his health, you don't say amen after such a bracha. However, if somebody ate food which is kosher in a time when one may not eat, for example, if somebody ate food on Yom Kippur, or if somebody ate bread without washing the Tilas Yadayim, you may answer Amen after the bracha. If somebody, however, the Gemara will discuss this, stole food and then makes a bracha on that food, one may not say Amen after that bracha. And similarly, we know the halacha is that an oinen, when somebody lost a close relative until the levaya, usually he's in the category of an oinen, and he's exempt from mitzvahs. If somebody makes a bracha under those circumstances, amen is not said after that bracha as well. So when we speak about a bracha of atala and a bracha she'ena tzricha, there are a number of categories. One category is a bracha of atala. If somebody made a bracha for no purpose at all, that means, let's say somebody made a bracha and didn't eat the food. That is called a bracha levatala. There's another category, which isn't really different, treated differently in the halacha, and that's the category of a bracha shenetzricha. A bracha shenetzricha is if somebody made a bracha for something that he wasn't obligated to make a bracha for. The best example that's always given is somebody made a bracha on bread, and then during the course of the meal, we know that once you make a bracha at the beginning of the meal on bread, you don't make a bracha further in the meal. And then he made a bracha during the meal on a piece of meat. That's a bracha and a tzricha. Now, there are many examples of a bracha and a tzricha. And of course, there are many questions of, is something considered a bracha and a tzricha? This is one example that we just gave. Another example is that the halacha, as we're going to learn in our perek, is that if somebody has wine and other beverages served together, the halacha is the beverages that were on the table together with the wine. If I make a bari pri agafen on the wine, I don't have to make another bracha on any of those beverages. If I do make a bracha on those beverages, it's a bracha she'ena tzricha. Another example of a bracha she'ena tzricha is the case of a ikur v'tafel. Our perek, Ketz Mevarchim, speaks many times about the category of an ikur v'tafel, which there's a food that's the main food, and with it comes along another food. That the halach is you make a bracha on the ikur, and you need not make a bracha on the tafel. That is considered, if you do go ahead and make a bracha on the tafel, that is considered a bracha she'ena tzricha. Another example of a bracha she'ena tzricha is if somebody made a bracha just because he's nervous. For example, let's say somebody's in the middle of eating. And while I'm in the middle of eating, I forgot. Did I make a bracha or not already? Such a person may not just make another bracha because he's nervous. Because here we have of Sofik, maybe I'm not obligated in the bracha. So if I make this bracha, it remains a bracha she'ena tzricha. The halacha is, let's say somebody said a bracha, he began a bracha on a food that he should not have made. And he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. And afterwards, he realized, as he's saying it, that he didn't have to make that bracha. So the halacha is that he says, Baruch Shem Kvod Machus HaOlam Vod, and he should not complete the bracha. Because by completing the bracha, explained the Paiskim, you're creating a bracha she'ena tzricha. So of course, you mention Hashem's name in vain. It was a mistake. By concluding the bracha, you make a bracha she'ena tzricha. What is the halacha if somebody was about to eat and he said a bracha, forgot himself that he had already made a bracha, and therefore he begins immediately saying a bracha again. And as he's saying that bracha, that second bracha, which he certainly should not be saying, he realizes, so since the halacha is that one is obligated to eat as soon as he makes a bracha, and here he already made the bracha, he should eat, and then after, since he said Baruch Atah Hashem, he should finish that phrase with the words Lamdeni Hokecha, because that is a pasuk in Tehillim. If he didn't just say the words Baruch Atah Hashem, but if he said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, so that is already not the pasuk. You can't say Lamdeinu Hokecha because there is no such pasuk in Tehillim. So he should, again, stop immediately where he is, as we just said a moment ago. And after he stops immediately where he's up to, he should eat a drop of the food because he already made a proper bracha first. And afterwards, say Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Olam Vod. The Paiskim discuss different situations that are not considered bracha sheinat, that are not considered necessarily a bracha sheinat tzricha. What will be the halacha, discusses the Paiskim, if somebody was eating and made a bracha, and now he has a question if the food that he made the bracha on may be eaten because it may not be kosher. So now he's not eating because of the question of kashrus. So the Paiskim say that if his concern is a legitimate concern, that means his concern is based on a real kashrus concern, so he shouldn't eat the food, even though it creates a situation of a bracha shein tzricha. On the other hand, I saw a tshuva in the Be'er Moshe, Chelik Dalid, Simen Chof Dalid, where he discusses, let's say somebody ate meat. And our minig is that after one eats meat, he doesn't eat dairy for 6 hours. And before the 6 hours are up, he realized, he took a piece of cheese and he makes a bracha shahakel. And before he eats the cheese, he realizes, oi, how could I be eating this cheese? I'm fleishix. Since he explains that if somebody cleaned his mouth and waited an hour, the Ramah quotes Menhagim that you could eat the meat, you could eat the dairy. So again, not that he should eat a whole dairy meal, but given that he made a bracha, and we're learning the seriousness of a bracha she'enu tzricha, therefore he should take a drop of that cheese into his mouth, that it shouldn't remain a bracha she'enu tzricha. He says the same halacha if somebody is during the 9 days, where our minig is that during the 9 days, we don't eat meat, or he speaks about a situation that somebody made a shechiyonu during the 9 days, where our minig is that even if you eat a new fruit, that the halach is when you eat a new fruit, you're supposed to make a shechiyonu, but during the 9 days, we don't make a shechiyonu. And this individual, during the 9 days, did make a shechiyonu, again, because of the seriousness of a bracha she'enu tzricha, even though it's meat during the 9 days, even though it's a new fruit during the 9 days, because of the seriousness of bracha she'enu tzricha, he should eat. He should take some into his mouth that it shouldn't remain a bracha she'enu tzricha. The Paiskim, however, do discuss that even though, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, that everybody agrees that mentioning Hashem's name is considered a serious iser asay, when you're mentioning Hashem's name b'derech shvach, when you're not mentioning it in vain, but you're saying it b'derech shvach, that isn't considered a brachah and a tzricha. And therefore, the minhag is that people say different bakashas. The question comes up very often on the night of Rosh Hashanah when people have the minhag to say different yehi ratzons, And when they say those Yehiratzins, do you say Mifnei Hashem Lakenu, Ratzafnach Hashem Lakenu, it's Shem Shemayim. And many Paiskim take a lenient approach because you're not just mentioning Hashem's name in vain, you're saying it as a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since you're saying it as a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the halacha is that that's not considered a bracha levatola or bracha she'ena tzricha. There's an interesting question. What will be the halacha if somebody is eating food or doing an act, doing a mitzvah, that there's a bracha recited before eating that food or doing that mitzvah? And the halacha is, the example that's given, the Tefillah Shor discusses this situation, is somebody shechting a number of animals. And the halacha is, if you're shechting a number of animals, you only make a bracha at when you start shechting the first animal, and that can continue as long as you're shechting. But let's say I had a mind when I started shechting that, no, this bracha should only be for the first animal. And even though I'm going to immediately shecht another animal right after the first animal, I intend to make a new bracha on the next shechita. Is that considered a bracha she'ena tzricha? It's a machloikis of the Tefillah Shor and the Pri Megadim. The Tefillah Shor takes a serious point. He says, I can't have a mind that my bracha should only be on the first animal because I'm creating a situation of a bracha she'ena tzricha. And as we're learning, a bracha she'ena tzricha is a very serious aveira. The Pri Megadim takes a more lenient approach. And his opinion is that since if I was only shechting one animal, this would be fine. So I could have a mind to do such a type of bracha, such a type of recitation. The Paiskim say, Listeichem discusses it, and he says that the only time we should rely on the Pri Chadosh is when I have a shaila, what I should be doing, if I should be making a separate bracha or if I shouldn't make a separate bracha. So there he says you could rely on the Pri Chadosh. But on a circumstance where certainly I should not be making separate brachas, making separate brachas, even though I had this in Kavana, when I made the bracha, remains, as the Tefillah Shor says, a situation of a bracha she'ena tzricha, which, as we've been learning in our shir, is considered a very serious issue.